Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
Because love can be demonstrated only if you take action, and especially in our time. You cannot just be there hoping that our planet is going to feel better. No, we have to take action. There's no other way that this is going to find a proper way out. If we love, we have to take action. And we have to take action because we are in love.
That's the voice of Indigenous elder and University of Ottawa professor Marcelo Saavedra. On this week's show, we speak to Marcelo and conclude the three-part series, Regenerative Ways of Being. Thank you and stay tuned.
We are speaking with Dr. Marcelo Saavedra. He's a professor of Indigenous Studies at the University of Ottawa and also an Aymara elder. Very privileged to have you. In this part of our last segment of our interview, I like to focus on the healing of the spirit, because I think, you know, for many of us, it has become a way of life to hear that there is an increase in symptoms of stress, of anxiety, of cancers, of all these diseases, you know, and this inability to be at ease with life. Can we talk about then this process? Because we have been led to believe that we can only, trust what we can measure, what we can, you know, reproduce and check and cross-check. And a lot of the teachings you're speaking of, a lot of the Indigenous teachings of being humble, of being truthful, of being, you know, generous, these wisdoms come from the heart, not from our head.
I think these are like key elements in the healing of our species. As I mentioned before, many Indigenous cultures, they are in the process of disappearing. And that's a very sad thing to witness, because we need them all to be able to be fully human. Like, for instance, there are many isolated tribes in the Amazon that they are running away from being discovered, in quotation marks, by the modern world, because they know what's going to happen to them if they get in touch with the modern world. We have to preserve these tribes. They haven't been tainted by modernity. They are the purest expression of humanity, and they are keepers of ancestral knowledge. So we need those voices, as well as we need the voices of the elders that are still around. We have to listen to them. We have to regard them as mentors, as guides, and that's going to, if we do so, if we humble ourselves in front of these wise people, we will be able to walk straight in our journey, and we'll be able to reach out to our sisters and brothers with no fear in our heart, but joy, with love and respect, and not arrogance or hate. And in that line of thought, one of the things that we have to get rid of is wars. For instance, in my country, Bolivia, we managed to rewrite the constitution we have, that was written in 1825, and now we have a new constitution since the year 2008, And in this new constitution, we managed to enshrine one of the teachings that comes from our ancestors. And that is, there's an article in the constitution that prohibits wars. So the Bolivian constitution nowadays is the only constitution on the planet that makes wars illegal. So in Bolivia, you cannot wage war. It's illegal. Beyond being immoral, of course, it's illegal as well. And I think the big advances that my people have done in these last 50 years or so, they have to be embraced by other indigenous people and by other peoples on the planet. Because in my country, in the constitution, there is grassroots movements that have taken action to reformulate it. And we have used the perceptions of our ancestors and the value systems that our ancestors have. And although we managed to put some of these perceptions in constitutional form, we still need a lot of work before we can say that Bolivia has left behind the colonial era. We're still a colonial country, but we are taking steps towards getting rid of this. And as I said, it's going to take still a lot of work and a lot of humility awareness. But it is possible. If my country has shown something, it is that it is possible not only to imagine, but to make a world in which we can live and coexist well.
Indigenous cultures have cultivated a quantum way of seeing, you know, and it's only now being recognized that by science. But in many ways, ancient wisdom has told us that both the past and the future coexist in this present, in this moment that we are constantly co-creating. Can we talk about this way of seeing that allows to break out of the need for certainty and a willingness to embrace the mystery, you know, the unknowingness, and yet the interconnectedness and interdependence of it all?
Yeah, another lesson that comes from what is going on in my country with my people is that for many decades we were convinced that in order to leave behind poverty, you know, we must know that in my country for many years was the poorest country in what we call Latin America after Haiti. But after the arrival to the presidency of our brother Evo Morales, you know, we have made lots of gains in terms of people having more viable lives, you know, and we have managed to adopt a critical perspective on what development is. Because like for us, development was like the gospel, and we had to go by it. There was no way we could question it. But in this last year, we have been questioning it. And one of the first things that came up is, okay, development. But why don't you ever qualify the notion of development? Development towards what? And it is because it is development towards capitalism. There's never development towards socialism. So it was development like at all means. But nowadays, we have contrasted this notion of development with one of our own. And this is, as you said, it's a quantum concept that came about with the imposition again of another concept that develop in the international development, and that was resilience that was developed, you know, for countries that wanted to develop. But we try to complement this notion of resilience because it's a good concept, it's a good approach. It's something that came from our culture. In our culture, we say we nurture life. So that was the quantum insight that we offered not only to our people, because in my culture, we nurture like animals, we nurture the rivers, the lakes, the mountains, we nurture the plot, we nurture like everything. It's a culture of nurture, or nurturing things. And this comes opposing the notion of separation. We don't separate things. We nurture life. So nowadays in my country, there is what we call the biosophy of living well. Biosophy is like a contraction between biology, which is the study of life, and philosophy, biosophy. So it's the biosophy of living well, which is the nurturing of life. So for us, that is like the framework by which we are going to attempt to co-create a society that has moved beyond capitalism, beyond patriarchy, and colonialism, the culture of nurturing life.
Speaking of a biosophy of communion that both invites the individuality, you know, in terms of when you speak about the two souls, you know, the greater soul that is the wholeness of it all, and the small soul that is each unique expression of life that is each of us. Can you express how this biosophy is inclusive of both the great and small, you know, smallness of us all, of it all, right? Because we're both sacred cosmic beings and also unique expressions.
Mm-hmm. In a way, our understanding of who we are and what our souls are is parallel what the Buddhist understanding of who we are is. So we are just emanations of our Mother Earth. If you look at yourself, like if you have a microscope at hand and you take a cell of yours and put it under the microscope, you are going to find that your cell is composed of molecules. Those molecules are composed of atoms. And in these atoms, the matter part is only in the nucleus of the atomic structure. The rest is the electron, which is just a vibrational energy. And the rest of the system is just void. And 99.99% of the system, of the atomic system, is void. And if you are composed of atoms from your feet up to your head, it means that 99.99% of yourself is void. But we have this sensation that we are very solid beings. You can touch yourself, you can grab your finger and so on. And we have this perception that we are touching very solid things. The same thing as like a table, like a pencil or whatever. In reality, it's like most of the things that compose those very solid things is void. So we need the interaction between both of our soul, you know, the Hatha Hayu and the Chitti Hayu, bigger and the smaller Hayu spirit, to be able to understand or to imagine that we are solid beings. You know, like I remember, for instance, this Buddhist monk that he was wondering, is it that I am dreaming that I am a butterfly, or am I a butterfly that is dream that is a monk? So what's the real thing? I mean, are you right now like the real Sylvia, or you're just dreaming? And maybe the moment that you die, you're going to wake up and to realize that you are something bigger than the Sylvia that we know. That's the mystery of life and death. And I think that they have to remain as such. We don't need to scientifically understand that. One, because we cannot. We don't have the means. We're just human. And second, because we need a sense of sacredness in our life. And the mystery of life and death is sacred. We don't need to know that. It's going to happen to us eventually, and that's perfectly all right. That's just a cycle of life. But as long as we are alive, we should embrace the now and the here, and we should take action in the here and the now, because that's the only time when action can take place, is in the now.
That's so beautiful. You know, I was thinking about a scientist, Umberto Maturana.
Oh, yeah.
He says, love is, you know, the causal energy of everything. And in so many ways, I think that to create a biosophy of life, you know, of who we are, of what we can be, of remembering what we are, requires the willingness to fall in love with the world, to fall in love with nature, to fall in love with ourselves as we are, you know, in the magic that communion and communities can create, you know, the beautiful worlds that we co-create through our imagination, through the ways that we respectfully coexist in reciprocity.
Yeah, I think you said that beautifully. I think that we need to humbly engage with ourselves, and we have to understand that we are beautiful things. And we have to fall in love with our people, with our surroundings, with other nations, like animals and insects, trees, plants. We have to fall in them. But we don't have to only be contemplatively falling in love with them. We have to take action on that falling in love. Because love can be demonstrated only if you take action, and especially in our time. You cannot just be there hoping that our planet is going to feel better. No, we have to take action. We have to take action. There's no other way that this is going to find a proper way out. If we love, we have to take action. And we have to take action because we are in love.
I guess the catalyst, you know, the alchemic power of love is all three. The intention, the attention, and the actions that we take each and every day to co-create the world that we dream of, the world that we, that honors that sacredness of beingness, the sacredness of life, the mystery of both our being here, you know, our awareness of being alive, and the sacredness of knowing that death is part of our journey to life, you know, it's still a part of that clarity that you describe of life and death, you know, that mystery. And I don't know what death contains or what it consists of, and I don't know that I can know and will ever know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know among the Maya people, you know, we believe that no one ever dies, that you just become part of the consciousness, that you are constantly, you know, mm-hmm. that we don't lose anyone. They're always, we're always here. And yet there is within me a calling to recognize that this moment is also an invitation, you know, to take action, as you say, to act on that love.
I totally agree with you. And that's why I love you, Silvia.
I love you, Marcelo. As we come to the end of our interview, I wonder if we could maybe explore then the fruits of love, because I think our cultures do speak a lot about the wisdom that comes from love, the wisdom that we the love invites us to learn, and which is part of why we are called to fall in love, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's a quite relevant question, especially in this time. I am sure that all beings on this planet, they love somebody or they love something. And because of this love, because love, as you said, as we agreed, love means action. So it means that there's fruits to this love. So we have to care for these fruits. And the most obvious fruits of love are our children. So, like I always say to my students in my courses, if you take something away from this course, like, you know, we like a semester is like a 4 months, if you are going to keep something with you from this course, just keep this. Do whatever you are going to do in your life, thinking about your children. And it's very simple. Very simple. You don't need rocket sciences to understand that. Just do it for them. You know, think about your grandchildren and keep on loving them. And keep on taking action. So we are going to prevent that they won't have a planet in which they can have clean water and proper air. I mean, that's what haunts me a lot. That I see how things are going. Like I follow all the climate change conferences, and I see with some sort of sadness and despair that those that are in the position of taking crucial decisions, they are not doing that. They try to preserve this way of being by forcing other nations to change. You know, like now they want to control the emission of CO2 from developing countries, but they forget that they have a huge ecological debt. You know, like Canada, the United States, the European countries, the ecological debt is enormous, you know, because it is at the expense of the whole planet that they have managed to develop. And if they live in wealthy societies, is because they have ruined this planet. They have polluted it. They have created a lot of despair in many communities here. So just think about your children and think about the love you have for your children. And that's not hard to do. You just have to put in your mind their faces. And whatever you do, do it with them in your mind. And that's going to lead you through the proper path.
Thank you so much for being with us as we come to the end of our interview. You have been a great teacher to many, and, you know, learning how to be a good ancestor, I think, is the journey that we are all humbly attempting to follow. Can you please end our meeting with a prayer, an invitation in Aymara and in English as you prefer, to really call our ancestors to guide us and to be with us on this journey?
I will say it in English so people can understand me. I want to acknowledge our Creator, and I want to acknowledge her creation as well. I want to acknowledge that Mother Earth is my ultimate mother, and that Father Cosmos is also my guide and my mentor. I want to be grateful for the blessings of my mother, the four directions, the four sacred elements, the four races of people that inhabit the Abya Yala and Turtle Island and the planet in overall. I want to acknowledge all of my relations, including the animals, the tree nation, the plant nation, the fish, the microbes, the mountains, the global sea, the lake. I want to acknowledge my ancestors for being by my side throughout my journey. And most of all, I want to acknowledge the spirit of my children, because they are my true guide, and they are the ones that are showing me the noble path, the path of love, of wisdom, of honesty, of courage, of humility, of respect, so I can be a truthful ancestor. Yus pagara mama, yus pagara tata. Halaya. Thank you, Silvia.
Thank you, Marcelo. Thank you very much for all that you do and for all the ways that you teach us how to be in this world.
Thank you.
Blessings to you.
We've come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is an internationally syndicated weekly program made available through campus and community stations and available out to the world at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Visit Latin Waves Media to hear previous shows, to access resources, or support our efforts towards social change via community project engagement. Thank you, and bye for now.